Do you lose heart? Do you find yourself downhearted and discouraged sometimes? Of course you do. Of course you do. We all do, don't we? It's not easy to be on cloud nine all the time. And whether it's because, you know, this week you had a difficult conversation with a colleague at work, and it turned out that actually your colleague, they know you're a Christian. In their mind, Christians are all bigots and arrogant and judgmental. That's a difficult conversation. Maybe you had a difficult conversation with a family member who's not a Christian. You prayed for them for years, and they are still hard-hearted and completely disinterested, actually, in even hearing the gospel. And it's easy to lose heart in that moment, isn't it? Or maybe tragedy strikes out of nowhere, out of the blue, nothing you could have done, someone you love or you yourself. And it's easy to lose heart, isn't it? It is hard to keep going as a Christian when life is like this. And Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. You're working through Ephesians. What a great book. Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, chapter 2, verse 22. You're being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. God's doing something really important here, Christchurch, y'all. God is doing something really important here. He is building you into a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And it would be a tragedy, worse than a tragedy, if in your downheartedness and your discouragement, that didn't go the whole way. That God didn't get to finish. And to the church in Ephesus, they'd never seen Jesus. They weren't there in Jerusalem when Jesus was walking around. And Jesus feels pretty distant to them too, sometimes. And Jesus feels a long way away from them too, sometimes. And Paul says, don't lose heart. God is at work here. He's going to finish what he started. Don't lose heart. And so for this reason, our passage this morning, chapter 3, verse 14, for this reason, I kneel before the Father. What does the Apostle Paul do for Christians who are downhearted and discouraged? He's got words to say, of course. But the first thing we need to note this morning, what does the Apostle Paul do for Christians who are facing discouragement, is he gets on his knees and he prays. And we forget, don't we, that we can do that. It sounds so easy, it sounds so simple, and you can do that anywhere, anytime. And there are Christians out there, aren't there, older saints, mature Christians, and for whom prayer just seems to come as naturally as breathing. It's their instinct when they face trouble, when things get hard, the first thing they do is pray. That's not most of us, probably. Prayer is not so easy for most of us. But Paul says you can pray, and we forget. You can pray to a Father who cares. For this reason, verse 14, I kneel before the Father. You can come home to Dad at the end of your day. And a Dad who wants to hear how your day has been. And a Dad who will stop what he's doing. And who's not distracted, he's not busy. He's been waiting for you to get home. He's excited to hear about your day. He cares about the minutiae. He cares about the small things as well as the big things. He's going to listen. He loves you. He's delighted to spend time with you. Thank you, Val, for that really helpful reflection at the start of the service. You can pray to a Father who cares. He's the best of fathers. And you can pray to a Father who is able to do something about it. He's not just a good dad in that he listens and he cares about you. He's a good dad in that he's going to do something about it. Verse 14, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. This is the Father who's in charge, the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Nothing is out of scope for this God. God is not hearing your problems and your requests and wringing his hands and wondering what to say. Oh, that one, I'm really stumped. God is never surprised by the challenges that you bring. He's never thinking, I don't know what to do, what shall I say, how can I make this better? God has got all the power. He's the head of every family in heaven and on earth. He's the president, he's the CEO, he's the executive director. He has all authority. And whatever it is that you're struggling with today, this week, he can do it. He can handle it. This is, it's like the Lord's Prayer, isn't it, actually? Jesus teaches us to pray like this, Our Father in Heaven. This is how Jesus teaches us to pray, Our Father in Heaven. It should be really hard to get past that first line. Because as I come to pray and I pray Our Father in Heaven, I'm reminded who I'm praying to. And I think, why didn't I come before? Why has it taken me this long? Because He loves me. And He is able. And I pray, says Paul, that out of His glorious riches, He has all the supplies. He has everything to give. He is generous. He's not stingy. He's overflowing with good things. And this is the God we come to pray to. Maybe it would be appropriate that we pray at this point. we're gonna just work through Paul's prayer. We're gonna see what he prays for. But he wants us to know the God we come to pray to, the Father in heaven. Let me pray again. Our Father, we thank you that what we're doing this morning is not a normal, everyday, natural thing that we have to summon something up out of our own power. We're coming to you, our Father, who made us, and the source of all of us, of all people, of all life. And you love us, and you want to give us good things. And so we thank you that we can come to you this morning, and maybe we're tired and distracted, and maybe we're downhearted and disbelieving. But you are able, and you are not discouraged. And so, Father, we pray that you would work in our hearts this morning. We pray that you would answer this call of prayers for us this morning as we look at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And Paul's prayer is not for changed circumstances. Some of our circumstances will be very hard right now. But Paul's prayer is not for changed circumstances. Not to say that you can't pray for that. But he has a higher priority. He has a higher priority. Verse 16, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that he would strengthen you with Holy Spirit power. Paul prays. I pray he has given you a spirit of power, not of weakness. We read elsewhere, a spirit of power, not of timidity, but of power and love and self-control, is how Paul puts it elsewhere. I pray that you would know the Holy Spirit within you, giving you strength, renewing you day by day. And this is not an end to trials, but when you walk into work, having had that discouraging conversation last week, when you walk into work on Monday, actually you take the power of the Almighty God within you. How conscious as you walk into the office are you, as you log into the Zoom call, whatever it is, you have the Holy Spirit living in you, who is never lost for words, and who is not going to be surprised, who is not intimidated by your colleagues, I can assure you. What a privilege. No one in the whole of the Old Testament had this experience. And we look at the Bible and we're impressed, actually, by David and Moses, aren't we? But they did not have the power of the Almighty God, the Holy Spirit, living in them day by day, making them new. You don't have to sin anymore, because you have the power of the Almighty God, the Holy Spirit, living in you. Verse 17, I pray that he would strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that you would know that Jesus is with you. And that he's at home here. That this is his favourite place to be with you. Not that he's far off, not that he's distant. But he's here, right now, this morning. So we don't need, in our difficult circumstances, we don't need something new. God has given us all we need. We need a fuller understanding, a bigger comprehension of what you've already got. you have the Holy Spirit living in you, you have Jesus living in you, and I want you to know it, says Paul. This is why you're discouraged, this is why you're downhearted, because you don't realise what you've got. I pray that you would feel it. And I pray that you, verse 17, being rooted and established in love, this is what you've got. I pray that you may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. If you're here this morning and you wouldn't say you were a Christian, it's an important point to know that Christians aren't people who are really good. Christians are people who are loved by God. That you may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Paul doesn't pray that the Ephesians, that we would love Jesus more. That's a bit of a surprise, actually, isn't it? I often feel like I'm praying quite a good prayer if I pray that. I pray that I would love Jesus more. But that's not what Paul prays. Not to say that you shouldn't. I think that is a good prayer. But Paul prays that the Ephesians, that we would know the love of Jesus for us more. That actually the first problem, the first priority is that you don't know what you've got. And the way the Bible puts it elsewhere is, this is love, not that we loved him, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is what it is to be a Christian. It's a recipient of God's love. And Paul says, I know you don't get it. I know you don't get it. Of course you don't get it. But I want you to get it. And this is why you lose heart, because you don't know how loved you are. How could you? This love surpasses knowledge. But I want you to get it. I pray that you would get it. You've started. You're rooted and established in love. And I pray that you may have power together with all the Lord's holy people, verse 18. And that's a curious phrase, isn't it? It's easy to overlook, easy to skip. And it's true, isn't it, that that we are saved as Christians individually, that there is an onus on all of us individually to come to Jesus and to repent and believe, and that I won't be saved because my family are Christians, my parents are Christians. And that's not how it works. But it's also true that you are saved into community, that you are saved into church. And that actually, biblically, there is no such thing as a Christian outside of the church. And because we are all members of one body, we are members of this building project that God is working on, we're all part of it. And so actually, it's an unbiblical idea to say that you can be a Christian and not part of church. And it's a dangerous idea, too, because you're going to need each other. And we're going to need each other. C.S. Lewis tells a story. I heard it via Tim Keller, but a story of three friends whose names were Jack and Ronald and Charles. It's a true story. Jack is C.S. Lewis. And they're three very good friends. They're not best friends, because there's three of them, but they're very good friends. And then tragically, Charles dies. And in the grief of that and the pain of that, There's a consolation for Jack, thinking that, well, I still have Ronald, and now we will be best friends, and we'll get to know each other better because it's just us. But in the weeks and the months and the years that pass following Charles's death, Jack finds that's not true. That actually, he knows Ronald less than he did before. Because there's a whole side of Ronald that's closed off to him now. A side of Ronald that Charles used to bring out, that Jack can't bring out. And so that friendship is diminished by the fact that Charles is not there. And it's true, isn't it? If you've got a very good friend and you see them with their siblings, or you see them with their parents, or with their spouse, or with their friends from childhood, or from school, or from uni, or from work, you see a different side of them. You see a more complete picture of them, don't you? You get to know them better, because actually we know people within community. We get to know each other more. We see a fuller picture of this person. If that's true of people, how much more true of the eternal God. And so actually we need each other. I need you. I need you in a Bible study to share what is God saying to you in this passage. And because you will see things of him that I don't. And I need to pray with you because the way that you relate to God and the way that you pray to him will be different to the way that I do. And we will both arrive at a better, fuller understanding of God for having done this together. And so you need each other as a church family week by week. And to take each other to a fuller knowledge of Jesus. And we are saved into community. Paul prays that you may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And we sing it with our children, don't we? We say, so high, you can't get over it. So low, you can't get under it. So wide, you can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love. And do we think we outgrow that? We don't. Maybe we stop saying it. Maybe we find love an awkward thing to talk about as we get older. And maybe it's an easy thing to say to a toddler. Jesus loves you. How often do we say it to ourselves as adults? You don't know it. You haven't reached a maturity where this isn't true anymore, where you don't need to hear it anymore, and where you've grasped it fully. You haven't outgrown this. You have no idea this morning how much Jesus loves you. It's an easy thing to say, isn't it? Jesus loves you. You have no idea how much Jesus loves you this morning. I mean, it's good news. This isn't a criticism. Jesus loves you this morning, his children. The other place in the Bible that we see these words, the width and the length and the height, the other place in the Bible we see these three words coming together is in Revelation chapter 21. In the description of the new temple, the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And this is a new creation promise. I want you to get the love that we will actually only see fully on that final day when Jesus returns and we see him face to face. And the church, God's people, are married to him, never to be parted. And to see clearly that this is what Paul wants you to get. I want the new creation in your heart now. I want you to get it. To know this love that surpasses knowledge, of course you don't get it. it surpasses knowledge, but I want you to get it. During COVID, so this very start 2020, spring 2020, I had some counselling sessions on the phone. It was allowed. I had some counselling sessions with a biblical counsellor, and so the way that these people work, I guess their job is to help you apply the Bible. What God says to a particular issue you've got in your life at the time. And we got to the end of the first session with this guy, and he said, David, how do you think God feels about you? And I answered, and I guess I got the answer wrong, because he said, okay, homework for this week, I want you to go away and to ask God how he feels about you. So, okay, fine, hung up. And so I sat there and I prayed, and I said, Lord, I've been a Christian for a very long time, and I think I should know how you feel about me. So if you care about me, if you're invested in this battle, this issue that I've got, then I pray, would you tell me this week, how do you feel about me? And the answer came, and it was quite overwhelming, actually. Because every time that week that I opened my Bible for a quiet time in the morning, every time at home group in the middle of the week, at church on Sunday, in the sermon, the songs that we sang, random things that people would say. And every time I opened the Bible, it was like God was shouting at me. I love you. I love you. And we can get used to just trying to get by, can't we, on our own strength, day by day, moment by moment. But God wants you to know how much he loves you. Paul wants you to know how much Jesus loves you, because it will transform your everyday. So make this your homework for this week. Go home and ask God to tell you how he feels about you. Verse 19, to know this love that surpasses knowledge, this is the climax. that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Paul gets on his knees before the Father and prays that you would know the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would know the love of his Son, Jesus Christ. That you would be filled with the fullness of the triune God, that he might live in you. He is bigger, he is richer, he is fuller than you have experienced. However long you have been a Christian, however mature you are, however much you know the love of Jesus, let me tell you this morning, you have barely touched the sides. He has got more to give. He has got so much more to give. There is so much more to come. The best is yet to come. And this is a really big thing to ask, isn't it? That you would be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That feels like an impossibly big thing to ask. That feels like a stupid thing to ask. And Paul says, verse 20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. That sounds like a Disney God, doesn't it? Like a fairy godmother type of, you know, journey beyond your imagination. This is the kind of thing you say to children, and they get very excited. And I guess my problem, I think I can imagine quite a lot. I can imagine my very hard-hearted, disinterested family members becoming Christians. I can imagine coming and hearing them give their testimony and be baptized at church. I can sit and imagine that. It might take me 10 minutes to warm up, but I can get there. I can imagine your building project. I can imagine Christchurch, you all taking over the whole block. Or every house on this road, because the whole of you all wants to come to church every Sunday. It seems ridiculous, but I can imagine that. I can picture that building in my mind. I think I can imagine quite a lot. And Paul says, he is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. And I guess we put limits on God, don't we? Because I feel weak and I feel downhearted and I feel discouraged. But he's not. He's not. He will do it by the power that is at work within us. Verse 20. He will do it by his Holy Spirit at work within us. Life hurts sometimes. Life really, really, really hurts sometimes. But Paul says power is available. Strength is available. The Holy Spirit is available. You don't have to find it within yourself. That's a lot of pressure to put on a person, isn't it? Actually, life is hurting. But it can be okay. You can summon up the courage. You can, you know, smile. Put on a happy face. That's a lot of pressure to put on a person. If you're down, if you're discouraged, if you're downhearted, it's because actually you're not fighting hard enough. That's not what Paul says. Paul says his Holy Spirit is available. The love of Christ is available to you. You can get on your knees and pray. It's from him. And so it's only appropriate, verse 21, that to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. To God be the glory. Let me pray. Father, we get so downhearted and discouraged so easily. Father, we pray this morning that you would strengthen us. And we pray that you would strengthen us by your Holy Spirit in our inner beings, that Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith. And we pray that as we are rooted and established in love, that you would give us power together with all of the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Jesus for us, to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we might be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Father, in our difficult circumstances this week, which we thank you that we can bring to you and know that you care and know that you hear and know that you're able, we pray that you would give us your Holy Spirit in greater measure, in greater fullness, that we might experience more fully the love of Jesus. And that we would persevere, that we would not grow downhearted and discouraged. And because you will finish what you've started, and we will be built into that beautiful bride, that beautiful dwelling place. And we will see you face to face and live with you forever. Please help us to hold on to hope. and to direct each other to you this week and going forwards. In Jesus' name, amen.